And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton. Welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 15 minutes or so, we'll go over strategies to help you improve your current investments and enhance your retirement income. First off, some emails. We have three or four emails to go through today, some questions that people have emailed in and called in, and we appreciate that. So first off, the email to contact me is roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca, or call 902-499-5879. So let's lead off our first email today. Today it came from a couple weeks back, Darren. Darren's around 50 years of age. He wanted my thoughts on the market swings this year of the economy and, I guess, COVID. So first off, when I talked to Darren, so the stock markets and the markets react differently than the economy. So let's go back to February. Let's go back to January. When COVID is starting to ramp up in China, the markets were still all-time highs here, and we weren't really sure what was going to happen. So the markets are different than the economy. And the markets fell very quickly once COVID hit here late in February. The markets fell dramatically before the economy did. We didn't know what was going to be shut down, what was going to happen, but the markets fell. The Dow fell from like 29,000 down to 19 very, very quickly. Then the economy started to shut down. And a bit of an overreaction in the markets, so some people would panic, but do not. Very quickly, there was a recovery. About May, the markets start shooting right back up again. It looked like we were starting to maybe curb COVID or had an understanding of how to deflect it. But the economy was starting to tank, people losing jobs and becoming unemployed. Now, fortunately, this time around, the government and the banks were there to jump in. And they had learned their lesson from back in 2008 when the financial crisis had hit. And the governments were out of money and banks were out of money, and there was a world financial collapse. So they learn lessons. We all learn lessons how to avoid that and how to be prepared next time. Those are lessons learned. So we're not out of the recovery yet from COVID. So until a vaccine is discovered, there'll be a second wave probably, but it won't be as severe as the first one. We won't be caught off guard. But in all that investments, we don't measure things in short term, what it'll do in the next 5 weeks. We're not stock picking. We're looking for quality funds that might be affected, but not greatly impacted. We're all affected in some way of COVID, but less impacted depending on the funds we have. But yet the economy is still running. It's not running at full capacity. We have jobs that are not back in order. And we know that the real economy it needs a vaccine to move back up. The markets will be a bit soft. They're always projecting ahead what the economy will do. So they're related, but not actually connected, correlated that closely. That answers it for Darren. So then Linda, a different, I don't know Linda's age, but I'm going to guess she's in her 50s. She emailed me, I've sold my house. I have about $250,000 to invest in short term because I'm wanting to buy another house. I don't know the value of Linda's other house, $300,000 or more, and housing prices are high here. I didn't know her age, but I'm going to guess she's around 50. But if her goal, or anyone's goal, if you require a certain amount for a certain need, a house or any fixed amount or any fixed item, there really isn't much to invest in. You're a short-term saver. You're saving. So you put your money in a savings account. You're a saver, not an investor. It'll pay you next to nothing, but for a house or a target fixed amount for certain items, you have to put into a savings account. I need this amount of dollars come next February, come next whatever. The rates are going to pay you 0 point nothing, but that's what it's going to be. You don't want your $250,000 falling to $220,000 the day you're buying that house. You can't afford to do that. So you're a saver, in this case, not an investor. And investing at any age, it's for multiple. It's for a five-year plan or more. So maybe just 1 5-year plan or more. That's where you invest. You invest monthly. You withdraw monthly. But for lump sums, I need an accurate amount on this day. You have to go with a short-term, a savings plan, GICs, or savings. One more email before we go. So John called me, and he wanted my thoughts on the U.S. election and what bearing that may have on U.S. funds, and when we carry the U.S. Fidelity U.S. Fund. My thoughts on the election. I'm not a political scientist, so Trump will lose. He has gained no new supporters since 2016, has lost some of his 16 supporters. He's good with the economy, but it's probably the way he handled COVID, I think, would be his biggest downfall. And in times of stress, we see who leads the pack. A good fund manager can do well in stressful times. A good driver can drive well in snow and ice and rain. Good leaders perform well in times of stress. And we saw here, locally, Premier McNeil did well during the COVID. Trudeau, daily conferences every day and kept people abreast of what's happening. Doug Ford, Did very well, I think, on TV. No nonsense approach. We're doing this. Not perfect, but they all had a plan, seemed genuine. And other leaders across the world, some had very good plans and some didn't take it seriously and had bad plans. And looks like for Trump, he did not really have a handle on it. His message got lost in his approach. So that, now back in 16, we had a close election and the U.S. market actually went down about minus one that year. And there'll be probably not too much more U.S. Fed support right now in the markets until the election is over. So it'll be a slow market, probably in the fall. Long-term, Democrats, Biden will probably win. They have a habit of increasing taxes. That sometimes affects the stock markets. But generally, most presidents are kind of central. They don't go too far one way or the other, left or right. Governments are pretty central. And a lot of good rallies were in the Obama era, back in 13, 14, 15. So it's not always one government. It's the economy itself, as long as they're not too radical. So good U.S. companies will still do well. It'll be slow in the fall. But long term, you do well. So those are some questions right now. Hopefully we answered those for Darren and Linda and anybody else and John. We'll be right back with some more after this short break.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to Roger at yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back, and today it's question period, question time. So the next question came from Tom and Louise. Can you explain what you mean by placing money half cash? Well, yes, we can. Half cash. So example, I had a couple that came on board in late February. They were in their early 70s. And about, well, why the money's being transferred from their bank, it takes about 3 weeks. Well, the COVID crisis hit, bang on, right at February 20th. So we had some funds set up we were going to go into, some growth mostly, and some balance. And we'll say the amount was $200,000. So instead of putting the entire $200,000 in funds, as it's being transferred, we decided to change that and place half of it in funds and the other half in cash, things like daily interest and money market. This can be in your RSP and your RIF, whatever it might be. But they pay next to nothing, but they don't go negative. It's a very short-term approach. We're not trying to time the market. We're simply looking for peace of mind because we knew March was going to be terrible, the unknown, and these clients were in their 70s. Now, we'd never know when the bottom hits. You don't know that until after it starts to rise. It's afterwards. So about May, we started noticing, of course, the market's starting to move back up. So we took that other half, the other $100,000 that's in daily interest, and we start putting some into the funds each month over the next 12 to 20 months. So the $100,000, if it were, in cash, we start moving $5,000 from cash every month over the next 12 or 20 months to get back into the markets. So as the markets dip over time, we keep buying in. That's what we do. Now, if the bottom was in May, that's great. Half the money was at rock bottom and did extremely well. And it did well all through the rest of the year, made some nice gains. And the rest would join in each month. So again, if there's a dip, we're buying in the fall and some dips, and we keep buying in more, not to try to time at all. So we're dollar cost averaging. It avoids the idea of trying to time the markets perfectly because you just can't do that. So some people who sit on cash in the spring, you had too much fear. You're watching too much TV. Fund managers, day traders, they do that. You don't. Some people missed out on some great opportunities, some gains from May to August, some double-digit gains. So you buy in consistently, you withdraw consistently. So our last email came from Barbara, who did say she was 68, and she wrote in, can you go over the different investment options? I hear you on the radio talking, but I want to know the options for someone 68 from the least risk to the more higher, her options. There are three low-risk options in investing. GICs, guaranteed investment certificates. They're a fixed rate over a fixed term. The principal is guaranteed up to $100,000 per bank that you deal with. The last bank to go, last financial institution to go bad was the Principal Group, I think back in 1989, 1990. Since then, the government came up with a plan that all money, GICs, has to be insured. The problem is they're all low rates. The race right now on GIC rates is like watching a snail's race. They're short-term savings. If you are doing GICs for short-term savings, you should stagger the terms. 1, 2, and 3 years. It's for convenience. Access to your money. You don't have it all tied up for a long time. You have money coming due every year. It might be a better rate next year. Don't put it in your tax-free because you're not making any interest. If no interest, there's no tax. There are certain days or weeks that a GIC looks good. It certainly looked great in March, but over the long term, they do not. But they're there for a reason. It's good to have your GICs maybe with insurance companies, Industrial Alliance, for example. If your GICs are usually held by older people, and if something happens to you, if you don't make it to the end of term, it bypasses probate, goes directly to your spouse, family, beneficiaries. The biggest risk with GICs is the loss of time. Your money's tied up, it's not generating much, and prices keep going up, and your money does not. The second one is probably called the market-linked advantage. It's like a GIC, and you get terms of 3 to 6 years. The principal is guaranteed, and there's no limit to the principal. 100,000 could be a million. You're participating in a basket of funds. It's a combination of a GIC and the markets, seg funds. There is a limit, though, to the upside. Although you won't lose any money, generally you won't make much more than 2.5% to 3% per year. So it's a very low risk, low gain type of market. So if the market shoots way up, you don't get much of it. If the market made 8% per year, you're going to get 3. If the market tanks, though, this fund won't ever. You'll get returned back no less than what you put in. So, and there's really been no time in the past, for the last 3 to 5 years, that the markets are less than where they started from. But it could happen. And you stagger them. And it could be in your tax-free because this is interest income and it'll probably pay you more than a 1% GIC. GICs, again, are paying you about 1% on a 1 year, but 1.3 on a 2 year. You could have those for your short term and then place these in 3 to 5 years, which you'll probably get around 3%. But they're not big, but they don't go down. They're all life insured, bypass probate. Again, the biggest risk is the lack of return. The third option will be annuities. Income for life, money for life. And we'll go more on those later, but they will pay you a certain amount, income for life. Maybe not a lot, but a very long time. It's a pension. So unlike some pensions you get from your company, they have a limited life insured plan. They might stop after 5 years. As long as you're living, you get paid. But if you stop breathing after each year, the company keeps your pension or reduces it to maybe 2/3 to your spouse. These will carry on after your death. The remaining money is left to your beneficiaries. So you've got annuities. They pay roughly about a 4% minimum per year. And so it's money for life. So something if you have a long life projected, and no one ever knows for sure, but the money will grow at a rate of about 4% per year, and it gives you money for life. Good to have, not to have all your money tied up in that, because you might want to spend more when you're younger, 65 to 80, a little less when you're 80 plus, but you don't run out of money. So those are three low-risk options you can look at. Okay, we'll be back to wrap it up in just a moment.
Welcome to your Financial Destination Show, an educational investment series hosted by Roger Hamilton, featuring strategies to enhance your retirement income. During his 10 years as a financial advisor, Roger has provided sound advice on how to improve personal investments to hundreds of people, many of whom are Seaside FM listeners. To discuss how to improve your investments, email Roger at roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back. So those are three relatively modest, low-risk type of investments. After that would come your seg funds and your ETFs and mutual funds. Above that would be your private equity or income funds. And that's about as far as you go along with me. After that, stocks and would be next. And you can go to all kinds of different stock options, which can be rewarding, can also be risky. So we want to talk about some of the emails we had today, questions or topic, the listener that you emailed or called me from low-risk fixed incomes. We had topics today about the markets in general and the upcoming elections. A lot of wide range. I trust you get something out of that. But in all those cases, you think long-term, don't get caught up in the news, look for quality funds, and know your options. I have expression, know your knowledge, to know a little bit about what's out there. Just don't walk into the bank and say, I'm going to put my money in a savings account and I don't know what else to do. There are options there for you. Emails are sent to me, roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. The website is yourfinancialdestination.ca. This show and other shows will be on that website. You can hear them again. The phone number, 902-499-5879. Next week on our show should be Heritage Law Firm talking about wills and estates and plannings and power of attorneys and all the problems that families can happen when mom or dad pass away and all, not all the brothers and sisters agree on everything. Sort of a knives out. Should be rather interesting. Please join us every Thursday morning at 9:15 here on Seaside FM. I'm Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.